Morning. A few of you I don't recognise. I'm Chris, and Alice and I are the pastors here. I just wanted to start, actually, before I get into the guts of the talk, I heard quite a few stories recently of people in Hope around the city of Bristol having an influence. And Roger spoke to us about on that subject a few weeks ago, about our front lines, our homes and our workplaces, places of education, where we are. And it's great just to hear Hope people's names just mentioned around the city. I just want to just share a few examples. So this is Happy Bristol Awards each year. And two people from within Hope, Pam Fisher, is she here? Not here today. Pam Fisher and Jonathan Lee were both in the top 20 people recognised as bringing influence to Bristol to be a happy city. So Pam does a lot of work in sort of therapeutic dance and people coming out of addiction backgrounds. And Jonathan is the CEO of Crisis Centre, working people coming out of, again, addiction and homelessness and so on. And then what are the other ones? So Alice Cranston was mentioned in terms of the way that in her role in supporting families of disabled children and so on, and she just helps loads of families around the city access, support and connect. And people were just saying that the scale of influence that she has just been heard and talked about. Then there was, it's a vicar over in Easton, a friend of mine called Philip Knott, and he said how he's been praying for this particular part of Easton for a couple of years, where a lot of prostitutes would gather, particularly praying, blessing on that place. And there's just been a new GP healthcare clinic opened up called East Trees. It's a really big new health centre, and our very own Rob Douglas is one of the key GPs who's made that happen. And he's made personal sacrifices they have as a family to be there, but he really believes it's his calling to minister in that place. And it's just great to hear this mentioned across the city. Oh, there's another example as well. Oh, Fee Stewart-Hunt. So Fee is a reporter with the BBC. She's on Points West, reads the news. And just hearing again recently how apparently she's renowned within the newsroom for being able to get interviews with people that others can't. And a lot of that is actually because she's so good relationally with the people that are in crisis. So some of the stories that she reports on would be like murder cases and so on. And Fee has a great compassion for these people and will text them, write them notes, out of her love for them, really. But as a result, people will trust her to do an interview with them, whereas they wouldn't trust others. And so it's a great, you know, all these different spheres of life, all these different areas. So, and there's many more examples. I'm not going to try and cite everything, but it's just so great to see the church being a blessing to the city of Bristol. And this morning, right now, the youth from amongst us are out in the centre of town in the Bear Pit. They've made food. They're giving out food and things to people who are homeless. And it's just great to see this kingdom influence of the love and power of Jesus around the city. So this morning, we're on a series which we're doing on worshipping communities. And Alice spoke last week on people of peace. And we're going to continue on that theme today. Jonathan, hey, how are you doing? Actually, I was wondering if we could actually hang out and maybe have a cup of coffee. We could have a catch-up. Would that work? Could we do that now? Okay, would you just excuse us? Can I read you something from the Bible? Have a look at this. If you've got a Bible in front of you, do you want to go to Luke chapter 19? Shout out a page number if you find it before me. Sorry, 801 in the green Bible, 869 in the kind of turquoise Bible. Sorry? Okay. So Luke chapter 19 and at the beginning from verse 1. Let's read this. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business, and he'd become very rich. He tried to get to look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowds. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree beside the road so he could watch from there. Let's just try and make this a bit more local. Let's imagine that Jesus is coming to Bristol, and it's been talked about. It's gone around social media. It's been heard and mentioned. He'll probably go to sort of College Green sort of area, maybe on his way through the city. Okay, so let's imagine Jesus. So people are here that this man Jesus, who's been saying and doing extraordinary things, people start to gather on College Green. And there's a short guy who can't really see very high. So he climbs one of those trees on College Green, okay, to get a better look. Let's carry on. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the crowds were displeased. "He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. So I'm just setting the scene here. Imagine this, College Green. You've got this little guy up in the tree. Great crowds, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of people gathered. And Jesus has this conversation with one person and says, "I'm going to come to your house today." And he's not a very nice guy. Everyone hates him. He's ripped people off. He's a horrible guy. And so Jesus leaves these crowds, you know, the faithful who've come to connect with him and experience him, and goes and hangs out with this man Zacchaeus. And it goes on, verse 8. "Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, 'I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've overcharged people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much.' Jesus responded, 'Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham. And I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those like him who are lost.'" Imagine that. How much did he give back? "I will give half my wealth to the poor, and if I've overcharged people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much." I reckon that would have left him pretty skint after that. That's proper repentance, isn't it? That's a powerful change that happened there. Let's look at another encounter with Jesus. This time it's in Mark. Starts in Mark 4 and goes on to Mark 5. If you go to Mark 4, and it's just verse 36 I wanted to just read out, and then we'll flick on to 5. So this is on page 826 in this Bible, Mark chapter 4, verse 36. So Jesus has been teaching lots of people, doing various miracles and so on, So from verse 35, "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' He was already in the boat, so they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats soon followed. And then it goes on, and there's a storm in the boat, on the lake, and they almost drown, but Jesus stops the storm. And then in verse 5, they arrive at the other side of the lake, in what's called the land of the Gerasenes. And just as Jesus was climbing from the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit ran out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the tombs and could not be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to control him. All day long and through the night, he would wander about the tombs and in the hills, screaming and hitting himself with stones. When Jesus was still with some distance away, the man saw him. He ran to him, Jesus, and fell down before him. He gave a terrible scream, shrieking, 'Why are you bothering me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? For God's sake, don't torture me.' But Jesus had already said to the spirit, 'Come out of the man, you evil spirit.' Then Jesus asked them, 'What is your name?' And the spirit replied, 'Legion,' because there are many of us inside this man. Then the spirit begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. 'Send us into those pigs,' the evil spirit begged. Jesus gave them permission. So the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake, where they drowned. The herdsmen fled to the nearby city and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. Everyone rushed out to see for themselves. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, but they were frightened when they saw the man who'd been demon-possessed, for he was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane. Those who had seen what happened to the man and to the pigs told everyone about it, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. When Jesus got back into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go too. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your friends and tell them what wonderful things the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to tell everyone about the great things that Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. So there we have a man. We have a similar scenario. There's a great crowd of people on the other side of the lake gathered to see, gathered to hear, gathered to encounter Jesus. And Jesus just leaves them, gets in the boat, crosses the lake. And it looks like he's got a pretty focus. He knows where he's going. He knows he's going to meet with this one man. And he meets this man. And he delivers. This is a man. He's presumably a man that everyone in the area would know about, I would guess. You could imagine people saying to their children, "Hey, don't go near the tombs. There's that crazy guy there. You can play anywhere else. Don't play near the tombs. You know, it's dangerous." You know, there'd be people who tried to chain him up, probably, to try, you know, so maybe some people gather together to, "Hey, let's just go and try and help that guy once more. We'll go and chain him up and we'll maybe take him some food." And he just goes ballistic and nuts and, you know, hits them and so on. You know, you sort of imagine he's a renowned, well-known, deeply disturbed person in the local community. Jesus comes and he delivers him from that torturing evil spirit that is evil spirits that are inside him, and he's a transformed man. And it says, doesn't it, that the people were afraid when they saw that it was in his right mind. Something so profound had happened. He wanted to come with Jesus. Jesus says, "No, go back and tell everyone what God's done for you." Really, don't you think it's interesting that Jesus, in both of these examples, left behind the crowds? And there are other times, aren't there, when he does speak to huge crowds. But in both of these examples, he leaves the crowds and he goes for the one person that God has presumably led him to connect with. And I imagine that those two people, Zacchaeus and then this guy in the Gerasenes, would have had an extraordinary influence on their friends, neighbours and areas after this event. So Zacchaeus, who everyone would have avoided and hated because he took their money, presumably he made families poor when they had no money. You can imagine families living with not much money, and you can imagine Zacchaeus comes and bangs on the door and says, "Give me your money," and forcefully takes it. They haven't got enough money to buy food, to pay rent or whatever. This man is now so changed, he's given them their money back. And presumably he's going around everywhere telling everyone about Jesus, and his social relationships would change, and they would know him as a man really transformed. And we see here how this guy that everyone knew, the local guy to be avoided because he was so disturbed, has actually become this man who now is a man of peace, now a man of joy, and he's coming and you can imagine the influence that he had amongst his community. Seems to be something here about the way Jesus worked. I read a quote from Billy Graham in the week, and so Billy Graham was a very famous evangelist, right around the world, has spoken in loads of stadiums to millions of people, led millions of people to Christ wonderfully. And someone asked him how he would go about leading a church in a town. And he said this: "Jesus spent most of his time with 12 men. He didn't spend it with great crowds. In fact, every time he had a great crowd, it seems to me that there weren't too many results," says Billy Graham. "The great results, it seems to me, came in his personal interviews and in the time spent with his 12. That's what Billy Graham said in 2008. And this is the thing that we're pressing in on, and Alice and I have found so life-giving over this last year or two, since we've seen this way that Jesus seems to do things with what we call the person of peace. He unpacks it a bit more in Luke chapter 10. And I think in Luke, so Alice read this last week if you were here. If you didn't, I recommend listening to the talk online. And here he sort of passes on to those who are following him some of his sort of methods, some of his strategies, some of his way of doing things. So Luke chapter 10 is on page 858. And I'll just sort of skim through it. "The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them one ahead of him to all the towns and villages." And then you get to jump to verse 5. It says this: "Whenever you enter a home, give it your blessing. If those who live there are worthy, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. When you enter a town, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide for you. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If a town welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you and heal the sick. As you heal them, say, the kingdom of God is near you now. So in other translations it says, let me just read it from NIV actually. Excuse me while I just get this on my phone. It uses the phrase particularly person of peace, people of peace. So there are many translations into English of the Bible, because it was written in Greek originally. They all word it slightly differently. And this phrase, person of peace, is just quite a nice one. Or this, the way it's put in the NIV here. So from verse 5, I'll read. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. So you see this thing where Jesus' strategy is to find one person who the Spirit of God seems to be sort of resting on, who seems to be a person of peace, a person who welcomes and serves you and connects with you. These are people who aren't believers in Jesus at this point. And that's the person that you connect with and you go deep with. Alice's 3 points from last week. Can you remember those before I do? Or what about a person of peace does? Serves you. Person of peace serves you. So the thought would be that we should go and serve them, wouldn't it, I suppose? But actually, the person of peace is someone who provides home, provides food for you. They welcome you, and they welcome Christ in you, welcome your message of Christ. What was the third one? Do you remember? Listen to you. They welcome you, they listen to you, and they serve you. And Alice talked, she gave 3 examples of people in the community here who she would describe as people of peace, people who've served and been part of Little Stars, the toddler group that Alice runs here on a Friday morning. And we've got other examples. And for us, this is really, I find it tremendously liberating myself. I have this passion and love for Jesus. And since I discovered Jesus at the age of sort of 16, 17, my life has never been the same again. I've been so set free, so transformed, and it gets better all the time. I'd never want to be anywhere else. My struggle is, how do I go about communicating that with other people? And I've kind of at times had this sort of guilt feeling of, I've just got to sort of blast anyone that walks past. And I don't really want to, and I'm sure they don't really want that either. But what this has shown me is that actually I can identify people that God is connecting with already, and I can plug into those relationships and spend time and so on there. And what we see is that these people that God provides are gatekeepers to communities and relationships. You can see how Zacchaeus would have opened up a community around him through his story. The man of the Gerasenes was a gatekeeper to that community. And we see loads of other examples. There's Lydia, there's Cornelius. And you see right the way through the Gospels and Acts, these examples of individual people that God, that people connect with, that open up communities. Now, just to draw things to a close, I've got these little bits of paper underneath your chairs. And these are... these are designed just to help us consider people of peace in different contexts. So there's 7, 8 sides there, I think, and then and 7 different types of relationship or types of connection. So just going through the bullets at the bottom, one of them is presence. And just that, you know, as if we're a follower of Jesus, we're filled with his Spirit, then we carry the light of Jesus in us. And it may be that just as we are being ourselves in our homes, our workplaces, wherever it is, that people just recognize Spirit Jesus in us and are warm to that, and they emerge to be a person of peace. Another one is passing relationships, sometimes described as the sprint. So I walk our dog each morning. I go over the river and under the suspension bridge on the towpath and back. And it's a time of prayer for me. So I don't normally like to talk to people. I kind of try and just not talk to people. But occasionally I'm okay, Lord, if you really want me to speak to someone, please make it clear. And so one morning particularly, there was this guy walking a big Doberman or something. It's quite a big dog. And we got chatting and had a really nice time just walking and chatting together. And I felt like God said walk with him. So I carried on walking with him. And he asked what I did. He was really interested to know that I was a pastor, and he talked about a friend of his who was a pastor, and he was just really keen and interested in knowing about my life and the things of God. And it seemed like he's a person of peace. He's a person who's welcoming the message of Christ, who's wanting to connect with me. And then a few weeks later, I saw him again, and I listened to the Bible on my phone, an audio Bible, often as I walk through headphones or whatever. And he asked me what I was, and I said that I often pray, I use these times to pray, and I was listening to the Bible at the time. And he was intrigued, this whole thing about listening to a Bible on an audio, because he's a lorry driver, drives a lorry for Tesco's. And he said, I get hours and hours in the cab. I'd love to listen to the Bible. I've wanted to read it for a long time, but I just haven't got time. I bought him actually on Amazon an audio Bible. It's one where sort of Denzel Washington and various other cool people, actors and things, are speaking the Bible. It's great. It's really good to listen to. And so I sent that to him, 25 quid or something. And I thought it was a great investment. So I got his address off him, posted it to him. I haven't seen him again since. But so that was a kind of a sprint, kind of passing relationship. But a sense of him having this warmth to Jesus and some leading there of an opportunity to bless him. And then you got permanent relationships, third bullet point down. The marathon, the ongoing family, hey? We've got our family for life. And there'll be times when people who aren't followers of Jesus in our family will be really hostile to our faith, others will be indifferent, others will be really keen. And there's probably a seasonality through which someone who was a person of peace may be no longer, or a person becomes a person of peace over time. This is an interesting considering that within our families. Proclamation, giving a talk on the gospel, and someone may respond as a person of peace. Preparation, someone changes over time. Power, maybe that so Alice is very good at, particularly in the community here, we'll ask people if they're unwell, she can pray for them, and tries to pray on the spot for people, and there's been some great stories of people being healed. But it may be that as a result of that, someone responds with warmth and shows themselves to be a person of peace who wants to connect more with Jesus and the message and us. And then perception. So there's just a sort of sensitiveness to what's God doing in a particular location. Is there someone, should I go and initiate some relationship with this person, and so on. So there's some things there for you to take away, to consider people of peace. But we think as we're starting these worshipping communities, and we've got quite a few little communities forming and starting now, which I'll fill you in on another time. If you're unfamiliar with what I'm saying about worshipping communities, at the back, I think on the welcome desk with Tommy and Shirley, there's a little pamphlet about it, made a little video where we're talking this through. These are communities that we're launching that are kind of either based in a particular neighborhood, an area, or they're around a sort of network, a sort of a passion or a vision or an interest. They deliberately have an outward vision, so it's aiming to connect people who don't know Jesus in a way that real relationships can be formed. And their communities built, we're calling them worshiping communities because their communities built around the worship of Jesus Christ. That is our identity. Our identity here as a church, as Christians, is Jesus Christ lived on earth as God-man. He died on the cross, paid for our sins, rose from the dead to reconnect us with the God who made us. And it's because of all that that we can bless our city, bless our communities, and so on. It's the transformational power of Jesus Christ. So people are welcome to come and be part of these worshiping communities where we have a strong, over the last 6 or 7 years, maybe 8 or 9 years, we've had a wonderful inner healing work has happened within us at Hope. Living Free has been a great tool for us in really sorting us a lot of our internal stuff out, and as a body. And this is a sense that God's saying, in addition to that, now helping you to move outside of the, just staying within the church community. So that's worshipping communities. And each week, this is just to finish now, each week we wanted to show examples of worshipping, many churches call them missional communities, around the country, around the world, so that as you're praying, as you're thinking and considering what communities could be like, as you're trying to grasp, what is it, what is he talking about, what are these communities, what might they look like? We're giving examples to help us to consider this. And so we're going to play a video in a minute. This is a church in Edinburgh called Central. And there's a little update here from 4 of their missional communities. Let me just give you a little overview of what they are quickly. So the first one, this guy here with the beard, is called Soul Surfers. That's a missional community around sort of surfing community. Not just surfers. There's people who like beaches and they hang out together on the beach, and there's a lot of relationships that way. And then the next one after this is called Portobello. Portobello is an area in Edinburgh, so it's kind of a neighbourhood kind of community. And then there's one called Centurion. I've mentioned this before. Centurion is, it's a big garrison town, Edinburgh, and that's amongst the soldiers and their families up in Edinburgh. And the last one is called Square Holes, which is a missional community with adults with learning disabilities and their friends and families. So let's watch this as a little insight into what communities can be like.
We've had a really exciting period in the life of Soul Surfers. For the last year or so, our Facebook group, Christian Surfers Scotland, has grown to about 60 members from the Scottish borders right up to the Shetland Islands. Many of those people feel quite isolated, so an online community is helpful. More tangibly, perhaps, in Edinburgh, we've got about 12 people coming around our house every week, sharing a meal, opening up the Bible. And the thing that's really interesting about that is there's people who belong to different churches and many who don't belong to a church at all, but who found a sense of community and belonging and deep friendships have been developed. Over the last 3 years, we've been working with the Scottish Bible Society. We've had access to their classic VW camper van, which operates as a mobile sacred space. Last summer, they offered us a chance to buy that. The very week that we took the keys for the camper van, we were approached by Scripture Union about the possibility of helping them design and facilitate a surf camp. And the booking is now open for the first week of the summer holidays for 20 secondary school kids. So those are the highlights, but I think every bit as exciting are the everyday stories, where we've seen people come to faith, people's faith become reignited. All of our faith actually be challenged by just being in this community.
We've been really enjoying in Portobello meeting some of our neighbours and people in the local area. And one of the things that we've tried to do as we're building relationships is to let people know really naturally that we're Christians, but also let them know that we're praying for them. And if there's anything specific that they would like prayer for, that we would offer to do that. My next door neighbour was pregnant and her husband had to go away and travel. He was actually going to be in Japan around her due date, and she was really anxious that the baby was going to come and he wasn't going to be back home. So Dan and I and our son Yian, we started praying regularly that she would actually go overdue and that he would be back. And we just let her know a few times that we were really praying for her and just praying that she'd have peace and that her husband would be back. And God stepped in and answered, and he was. We've just also been offering people lots of practical support. Had another neighbour whose boiler broke, and I got some of the neighbours together and we gathered up some heaters and helped her to heat her house, and we had them over for a meal at ours. And out of that, she's asked me lots about prayer and about my relationship with God, and it's just really opened up that friendship. So those are just some of the things that have been happening. There are lots of other stories as well. But we're just really, really enjoying the process of meeting people, making friends, looking for the people of peace, and sharing our story with them.
In Centurion, recently we've seen massive answers to prayer. We've seen answers to prayer for the guys who've been away in Afghanistan on operations for their protection. But also we were praying for most of last year for access into one of the local barracks. And we've seen a huge answer to prayer there. With the support of the commanding officer and the padre, we've been able to host Alpha courses in the barracks on a Tuesday night. It's really encouraged us to feel that we are able to do that again wherever we might have to do it. We're also able to have a central band and singers along at the battalion carol service, where they were went down a treat, and it was a really good night with over 400 guys in the gym singing out to their heart's content. We just give thanks for all these answers to prayer, and we just pray for what God will have in store for us this year.
In Square Holes over the last year, there have been a number of things that have been really great. One was Lorraine's baptism on Easter Sunday, and later Alex, a friend of ours, became a church member. It's been wonderful to see Ryan's friendship with Lindsay flourishing after she helped him on a wheelchair training course, and seeing him make other friends in Central and later get baptised. And he's helping with sound at our Square Holes Cayleys now. We've got Richard and Mary serving faithfully as a link between Square Holes and the Prospects group locally. And we've been hugely encouraged by some of the feedback we've had from carers and relatives, some of whom invite us to pray for things that concern them. So a bit of a roller coaster, but I'm glad I'm on it.
Let's pray. Jesus, it's amazing that you would so often turn away from hundreds, even thousands of people, and you just love one person very deliberately. And it was amazing that 12 people that you initially connected with, and through them we're here today. The church globally is here today. Thank you for the way that you really naturally love individuals, love one person, love a few people, and through that you bless and you change the world. And we're excited to be part of that, Jesus. We are part of that already. And we want to grow in that further, in connecting with those people of peace, seeing who they are, connecting with them in a real natural and great way that's great for everyone, that everyone loves, that the seed of the kingdom of God can grow up in us all, in our communities. So Lord, we give our lives to you, as Helen said at the beginning, and we say that as part of our following of you, and our connect us with people in our communities and in our lives who are people of peace. Thank you. Amen.
And just before you whiz off to collect your kids, if actually, as you've been listening, something in your heart is really reminding you and pointing out a person of peace for you, and you just think, oh, I wonder, just share it with the person next to you so they can be praying for a really good opportunity over the next coming days and weeks to connect with them and to follow up. And if you need to do that as you walk and get your kids, do that with the person who's walking the same direction. But bless you as you go, and we'll see you next week.